Those of you who just came in, all right, this morning we will start in 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. This book's an unusual book in that the third chapter simply and brilliantly retells and summarizes everything that was found in the first two chapters. You'd almost think that it was given by the inspiration of God and not concocted by a commercial fisherman named Peter. And what we're going to do this morning is a great deal of reading. I don't know if we even need much preaching because this passage preaches its own sermon. You don't even need me. But I want you to follow with me very, very carefully as we read down through this chapter this morning. But let's pray first. Father in heaven, Lord, as we once again look at this epistle in your Holy Scriptures, we trust, Lord, that these are the things that you have preserved for us because these are things we need and things that will help us. And so, Lord, we look to you to speak to our hearts, to give us what we need to live this Christian life the way we ought to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. All right, that means pure minds can forget. Pure minds can grow careless. Pure minds maybe don't need a new ingredient. They just need to have what's already there stirred and warmed again and brought to a useful situation. Verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. All right, this is the message of those first four verses we just read. The Holy Spirit, through Peter, is pleading with us not to allow the interruption of time to turn us away from our hope. Verses 1 and 2, the apostles told us something. Verses 1 and 2, the Lord Jesus Christ told us something. Verses 1 and 2, the holy prophets told us something. Verses 3 and 4, why have men begun to scoff? Why have men begun to ridicule? because the passing of time has caused them to stop believing what the prophets and the Savior and the apostles had to say. So the appeal to you today, my brother, the appeal to you today, my sister, is to not allow the passing of time to turn you into one who scoffs, but that despite the passing of time, for you, for me, we will remain as steadfast and as certain in the hope of the things the Lord has promised us as we were the first time that we ever heard them. See, I believe the first sermon I ever heard on the rapture back in 1991, I believed that it could be that very week. And all these years later, I still believe it could be this very week. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth following 7 years of terrible tribulation. And all of the falsehoods in pulp Christian paperback books and all of the falsehoods by so-called prophetic speakers and all of the maybes and all of the guessings about dates for the Lord's coming that have passed my way in these years since I was saved, I still believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. You turn on the Christian radio station and you hear a man on there explaining how many years it was from Adam to Abraham. Okay? And then he explains how long it is from Abraham to the Exodus. And from the Exodus to the entering into the promised land. You can count the years in these things by the Bible. Okay? But then he goes on and he makes his way all the way to the birth of Jesus Christ. And then he leaps from there to tell the listeners that based upon those figures, there is no doubt whatsoever that the end of the world is going to be May 12th, 2011. Now, you know what? This is the same man on the same radio program who had already said that it was going to be in 1999. How is he still on the air? Why is there still people listening to this guy? Why are they still sending him money? And if the Federal Reserve monetary system is all going to collapse, and the end of the world was really going to be in 2011, why would you want people to mail you Federal Reserve notes so that they could get more information? What do you need it for? You know, now listen, I understand why people scoff at the notion of a second coming, because there have been so many false alarms. Date setters whose dates came and then they went. I understand why people scoff at the notion of a rapture, when all of these groups have gone up on mountaintops in their white robes and given away all of their property and then went back down the mountain disappointed. I mean, look, we've read about all of that stuff. Okay, and I've read that stuff and my faith was never in those people. My faith was never in their dates, which God clearly told them not to set. Don't set dates. My faith was never in their extreme reaction to the leading of some man or some woman. My faith and confidence is, and was, and by the grace of God will continue to be, in that which is written and recorded and given to us by the holy prophets, by the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior, and by His apostle. And I'm not going to allow the scoffers to cause me to join them in forfeiting my blessed hope. I understand why there are scoffers. I do understand it. You can understand that too. But I refuse to be numbered among them. Verse number 5 says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of." You know, it's bad to be ignorant, but it's worse to choose to be. There are some people, honestly, through an accident or through genetics, as they call it, through lack of opportunity, there are some people who are ignorant, who are there almost entirely because of someone else's misdeeds. But there's a lot of people on your streets and a lot of people on my streets and a lot of people in your community, a lot of people in our world who would just rather be ignorant than to have to spend a little time getting to know the truth. They say, "Well, I know about this Christian one time, and he said, you know, that the end was near, and then he ended up killing a lot of people. So that's why I don't go to church." And instead, he goes to bars where somebody gets shot every night. You know, People get shot in bars, you know, but they keep going to bars. People get beat up in bars, but they keep going to those bars. People lose their marriages in bars, but they keep going to bars. But do you know what the trouble is? It's just they would rather be a scoffer than a believer. They'd rather be ignorant than be educated. Well, I don't want to be in that crowd. Do you? All right, let's read. Verse 5, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." All right, and next time we'll probably take a look at that perishing and that great overthrow. It's not the subject today, though. Verse 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now," now watch, "which are now, by the same word, are kept in store," reserved. Now look, God is storing up the earth and those heavens for a purpose. God has reserved this earth and those heavens for a purpose. The purpose is, "which are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Global cooling, global warming, it matters not. This earth has a reservation. Emissions, no emissions. Go green or go brown. This earth has a reservation, okay? That's what it says. Save the planet, mistreat the planet. This earth has a reservation. Okay, fix it, pretty it up, cleanse it, do whatever you want. This earth has a reservation. God is going to destroy the earth by fire. God is going to destroy the present heavens by fire. God is going to destroy everything you can see with your eye by fire. That's what he said. You say, well, when is that going to happen? That's not the issue. Well, how long before it happens? Not our concern. Well, what should we do about it? We're going to see in just a minute. That's what we're here for. Okay, verse 8. But, beloved, so here's our second beloved. The first beloved was, don't throw away the word, what the word of God says, for the words of scoffers who don't believe that word. And so here's the second call to the beloved. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, brother, sister, visitor, church member, please, these words are so vitally true and important today in our congregation, maybe more so than they were in the church where this letter was first read 2,000 years ago. Do you know what the Lord said? The earth is going to be destroyed. The earth has not yet been destroyed because God is concerned with seeing the people who live on this earth repent and be saved. And that's the only reason he hasn't destroyed it. You know what God said? Here's what I don't want you to be ignorant of. The only thing that really matters is getting people to Jesus. It's not endangered species. It's not rising temperatures. It's not ice caps melting. It's not vapor trails and pig flu. It is souls coming to Jesus. That's what matters. God said, look, if you allow the scoffers to turn you away from what God considers important, you will lose your hope. You will lose your joy. You will lose your purpose in life. Now watch. God said, I am going to put an end to all of these things. And we say, Lord, I believe that. Then God says, scoffers will say, well, that's not so because it hasn't happened yet. And will try to get you to join them in unbelief. And then the Lord says, I want you to understand something. I am going to destroy all material things in this present world. And the only reason I haven't done it yet is I want people to repent and to come to the truth. Now, if all of that is true, then what should be the primary aim, focus, emphasis, and desire in our life? Getting people to Jesus before it's too late. Everything else is just a distraction. Everything else, some of the stuff might be necessary, some may be completely unnecessary and a waste of time, but they certainly are not the main thing, not with God, and they should not be with God's people either. There's a great deal of unrest among saved people today, and I understand that because many of them love their country. Whatever country you live in, 2 Peter 3 tells you the future of that country. Many people are troubled because of what they see happening among the nations of the earth, among the legislators and so forth. If you understand the destination according to 2 Peter chapter 3 of the nation, of the very land upon which the nation sits, it is total annihilation by the Lord. But there's one thing that will outlive the nation. One thing that will outlive the planet. One thing that will outlive the heavens and the solar system. And that is the souls of men. So, when I am occupied with trying to save that which I've been told right here cannot be saved, and I fail to be occupied with trying to save that which can be saved, I've been subtly, and maybe with the best of intents, I've been led away from the main thing and into the secondary thing. So that's the warning of 2 Peter chapter number 3. Verse number 10 says this, but the day of the Lord will come. You see that? The day of the Lord will come. Say, but all this time's gone by, all these false predictions have come and gone, all these people have lived and died. Yeah, I understand that. You're right. The day of the Lord will come. You know, preachers in the 1950s, they thought things were bad then. They preached, Jesus has to be coming soon because things can't get any worse. And then they preached on the current events of that time. And then in the 1960s, you had the hippies and you had the Vietnam War and rock and roll and all that stuff, and they were still preaching the same message. Jesus has to be coming soon because, man, things can't get any worse than this. But then in the 1970s, things calmed down a little bit, and the same preachers were preaching, Jesus is coming soon, but he doesn't have to, and I don't know how bad it's going to get. And you know what? The Lord will come. He won't come when you think he's going to come. He won't come when somebody said he's going to come. But you have got to put your confidence in what the Lord said, not in what somebody who thinks they got something in addition to the Bible said. Because if you're not careful listening to that crowd instead of the Word of God, it's going to convert you into one of the scoffers. Take a look. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Pass away. Do you know what we say when somebody's life down here ends? We say they passed away. Do you know what God said? The heavens shall pass away. I don't care how many billions of dollars you spend to go up and replace parts in the International Space Station and to take Hubble pictures of the expanding universe and all of that stuff. Look, you better get pictures of it quick because it's going to disappear. It's going away. Let's read more. With a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Look at that. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's the little invisible building blocks that make up everything you can see. The subatomic particles themselves are going to melt. And the earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Your championship banner, your bank statement, your beautiful buildings, your mega churches, your super highways, it's all slated for total destruction. Man, this is negative preaching today. It's not negative to me. My heart's not tied to any of it. I've got nothing invested in any of that. I'm dead, and my life is hid with Christ in God. My soul is saved. I'm getting a new body, and I'm going to live forever in heaven. The rest of this is just scenery along the way. Some of it's pretty, some of it's not. Verse 11. Now watch the passage. Watch how this passage preaches to us. We've seen the Lord's promise to come. We've seen men scoff because of the delay. In verses 8 and 10, we see the reason for the delay, and that is God wants people saved. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Okay, do you see that? From the Bible, not from the Discovery Channel or the Science Channel or the textbook in school. Seeing from the Bible that all these things shall be dissolved. Okay, how many of you see that from the Bible? The Bible says it's going to be dissolved. It will all be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be? Okay, just stop for a minute. If everything God made, except the souls of men, is going to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? To what should my life be devoted? With what should my heart be enraptured? Upon what should I set my affection? To what should I be giving my time and my energy? What should be my motivation for all that I do? Seeing that nothing material can last, and seeing that what God values and what God will preserve, either in heaven or in hell, are the souls of men, what manner of persons ought we to be? Do you understand in looking at that passage how incredibly wrapped up we are without any attempt on our part? How incredibly wrapped up we are in so many things that just don't matter. How many voices are calling to us to be interested in and be concerned about and be excited about or worried about things that absolutely have already been sentenced to total destruction? What will become of the kingdoms of this world? 2 Peter 3 tells me I can do nothing about that. What will become of the rivers and the streams and the mountains and the lakes? 2 Peter tells me I can do nothing about that. What will become of the heavens? What will become of the governments? What will become of our great cities? What will become of our slums? The Bible has said in no uncertain terms, it will be destroyed by God. What will last? The souls of men in our cities. The souls of men in our slums. The souls of men and women in our jungles. The souls of men and women in our first world, second world, third world nations. So, if that's true, where should our energy be spent? Where should our devotion be placed? What should be the object of our living? Surely not in the acquisition of more kindling for this fire. Surely not a life spent trying to prevent what God said is going to happen. It's inevitable. Surely we ought to be devoting ourselves to read it. Verse 11. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Alright? So there are two things the Lord said we should be every single day. Holy and godly. That's it. If everything is going to be destroyed, I want you to do two things. I want you to be holy. I want you to be godly. So I don't understand. All right, holy. I gave it to you in your notes there. Definition. Listen to this. Holy, pure in heart, in temper, in disposition. Pure in heart, pure in temper, pure in disposition, free from all sin and sinful affections, being conformed to God's image and set apart for the service and the worship of God. You know what the Lord said? That's what I want. What the Lord said, I want that, okay? I don't care if you drive a truck. I don't care if you work in a bank. I don't care if you repair electrical equipment. I don't care if you cut hair. I don't care if you're a nurse. I don't care if you're a housewife or a school teacher. God says, I want you to be holy. I want you to be pure in your heart, pure in your temperament, pure in your dispositions. I want you to be free from all sin and sinful affections. I want you to be conformed to God's image and set apart for His service and for His worship. You see how this passage preaches itself. If everything but God and souls are going to be destroyed, what should we be? we should be holy. Godly means a life of careful observance of God's commands, which grows out of a love and reverence for God. In plainer words, obedience that is glad and willing. Look, God's sitting up there in heaven, and he's got this church down here on earth, saved people who have eternal life. And the Lord says to you and me, I want two things from you. I want you to live a holy life, and I want you to live a godly life. I want you to be right in your heart and right in your actions, because you love me and you love others. That's it. Everything else will be completely gone 100 years from now. As far as you're concerned, as far as I'm concerned, if Jesus isn't coming back for 1,000,000 years, 100 years from now, my house, my car, my checkbook, my hairstyle, my clothes, they're going to be gone. Completely gone. The only thing that will be left is that which I have done for Jesus Christ and for others, for which I will be rewarded. And the souls of men that have come to Jesus through my efforts. Everything else God has promised will pass away. And I say to you that the scoffers are not this group of unbelievers who hate the Bible and hate God. I'm telling you, with each passing day, more and more professing Christians fall into the realm of the scoffers. You say, what do you mean? They don't believe the Lord is coming? They don't believe he's coming today. You say, you mean they don't believe the Bible? Well, they don't believe that God's going to destroy every material thing they've ever set their eyes on or their hands on, and that it doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. And the pull of this world and the push of this world and the appeal of this world and the persecution of this world is to get you to stop being so interested in holiness and godliness and souls and just settle in and be like everybody else and believe what you want to believe, but don't let it affect you. They want to make you a scoffer who just, without intent, just kind of, you know, just have that kind of a attitude. You think the Lord's coming soon? Oh, well, you know. Well, aren't you excited about the Lord coming? Yo, you're one of those, huh? Look, a scoff is something that happens without intent. You don't believe it. Just talk to saved people, talk to lost people about the possibility that the trumpet could sound tonight and we could be caught up in the air and our bodies could be changed from these vile bodies and made like unto his glorious body, and that the heavens and this earth are going to be dissolved by fire. You tell them that. And you watch saved people look at you just like lost people look at you, as though you're some kind of a kook. That's right. That's what you'll find out. Do you know what saved people want you to do? Pursue the same material interests that lost people pursue. You know what saved people want you to do? Get as wrapped up in temporary things that don't matter as lost people are. And if you want to have Jesus along with it, that's okay. Side order of Jesus, please. As long as you're not holy, as long as you're not godly. But you know what? All that matters to the Lord who sent his Son to die and to pay for my sins is that I be holy and that I be godly. And all that God has told me to accomplish in this world is to help people who are wrong come to repentance, to help people who are false to come to the truth, to help people who are blind to see, to help people that don't know Jesus to come to know Jesus. That's all he expects me to do. That's all he wants me to do. If I can use my career to do that, that's what that career is for. If I can use my house to do that, that's what my house is for. If I can use my intellect and my talents for that, that's what they're for. If I can use my ability to speak to that end, well, that's what it's for. Everything else is not important to God. That's what the passage says. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth cool buildings, beautiful scenery, and lots of neat stuff. No, we look forward to a place where it is righteousness, wherein dwelleth righteousness. It doesn't matter how pretty the buildings are if you get mugged when you walk out of that building. It doesn't matter how beautiful the scenery is if somebody's going to steal your purse while you're walking down the path. It's righteousness that we long for. And God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Right? Now look at what... That 12th verse, this passage preaches all by itself here. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. You know what we say? Boy, the days are flying by. You know what we say? Boy, time is just moving on. We say, I can't believe those children are graduating from high school. I can't believe another school year has gone by. I can't believe that so-and-so is that old now. Just zoom, zoom, zoom. Time flies. And then people say, boy, it seems like the older you get, the faster it goes. Seems like the older you get, the faster it goes. You know something? We make all of these kinds of observations and all of those comments, and then we live as though something down here matters. I mean, if it is obvious that our lives are passing by that swiftly, and if it's obvious that we're going to be out of this world and into eternity very soon, shouldn't we be devoting ourselves to that little tiny bit of life that we can actually take with us? We can take our holiness. We can take our godliness. We can take souls. And that's it. That's it. So watch the passage. Verses 1 and 2, the Lord said, he is coming again. Verses 3 and 4, people have stopped believing that because it's been such a long time in their minds. Verses 5 through 8, scoffers ignore the fact of past judgment and they fail to see the reason that the Lord hasn't come yet. And that reason is because of his long suffering and his mercy, and he wants people saved. Now, if we see that the Lord is coming, that the wicked will be destroyed, that every material thing will be dissolved, and that the Lord's concern is that people get saved, what manner of persons ought we to be? As saved people, we should be holy, and we should be godly, and resist the pressure and the influence and the deception of this world to live as though Jesus wasn't coming today, and to live so as to be ready to meet him, and so as to see to it that someone else is also ready to meet him. That's what matters. And that's what will matter a century from now, 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now. That is what will matter. My biggest struggle in life, honestly, my biggest struggle in life is to live every single day like that day counts in eternity. All of us. I mean, we've got families, we've got jobs, we've got church, we've got repairs, we've got sicknesses, and it's just all of that stuff's just pressing in on us all the time. And then on top of that, you've got lost people and saved people scoffing at the notion that you should be sold out completely to Jesus Christ. God help us as we finish up today to sincerely ask ourselves, what manner of persons ought we to be? Verse 14, we'll conclude with this. Wherefore, beloved, here's the third beloved in the chapter, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for reminding us of that which is important in the brief life that we have to live down here on this earth. Help us, Lord, not to be distracted or pulled away towards these things that you've clearly told us that are going to be destroyed and just do not matter. Help us, Lord, to devote our lives, our talents, our everything, Lord, to the things that do matter, the souls of men and living lives that are holy and godly. Lord, help us to dwell upon these thoughts every single day as life swiftly goes by until we see you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.